Today we're talking about celebrating freedom. Last Thursday was Independence Day. Mm-hmm. July 4th, 1776 was when the Declaration of Independence was signed, and we're going to talk about that and a lot of other things today, but we are celebrating our freedom. So we're going to read Psalm 33 starting in verse 1. So if you can, if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read His Word. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the seas into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From the heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place He watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army, nor warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse's vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Father, we rejoice in the hope You've given us through the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the price paid by our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all the way back to the Revolutionary War. Father, we love freedom, but freedom has never been free, and it never will be. There's always a price to pay. Father, bless us today as we rejoice in those that have paid the price, so that we and our children can live in a free land. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We mentioned that freedom is never free. On July 4, 1776, 56 of the bravest men that ever lived signed the Declaration of Independence. Today, we don't know about King George III, but at the time, King George III was the greatest monarch on the earth. The English Empire literally covered the whole earth. The sun never set on the English Empire. What he said was law throughout the area. These 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. 248 years ago, the document we call the United States Constitution was signed 11 years later in 1787. And the Constitution, I believe everybody should have a copy of the Constitution in your house, and I believe everybody should read it. You don't have to be a scholar to read it and to understand it. In that document, one of the greatest documents ever written on this earth, is the foundation and the principles that our country runs on that keeps us free. We need to know it, and we need to constantly go back to it as why our nation is today the greatest nation on earth and has been for a number of years. It's not because we're smarter than anybody else. It's not because we know more than anybody else. It's because we chose God to be our God. We are the only nation on the earth that ever asked the Lord to be our Lord. Our country was settled by Christians. They came here, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Our ancestors came here so that they could worship in freedom and spread the gospel throughout this nation. I just want to talk to you about those 56 men for just a minute. It's important we give honor to whom honor is due. And when we talk about these 56 men, I want you to realize the price they paid. So I'm going to read this to you, and you can think about it, but freedom isn't free yet. You and I are going to have to pay a price to keep this thing going. Everybody has to pay a price so that our next generations can have the same freedoms we had. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold suffering for themselves and their families. Of the 56 men who signed that declaration, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardship of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts, and he died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quietly ordered General George Washington to open fire on the Nelson home. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and mills were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in forest and caves, returning home only to find his wife had died and his children had vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. Folks, our freedom has never been free. I'm going to be talking to you in just a minute about what made our nation free, but I want to give you a verse before we do, because I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is the reason for our nation, and it's the reason our nation has stayed free. So when I read you what this man said in 1835 about what made America great, I want you to think about this verse. And it's 1 Timothy 3:15. If I'm delayed, you know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. I want to read that one more time because I really want this to sink into you. I'm not talking about Burt Baptist Church as a church. I'm talking about the church made up of people, Lutherans, Catholic, Baptists, I don't care what they are, that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We are the pillar and foundation of the truth. The reason our country is getting in such a mess is because the church, and again, not Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Free Methodist, whatever, it doesn't matter. The church is not doing its job. And we have to understand that, because truth, if it's really in the church, and it is, you know the truth. Many people in our nation do not. If I'm delayed, you know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. When our forefathers came to this nation, they loved the Lord, they loved His word, they studied His word, they preached His word, they were on fire. Folks, today, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want to insult anybody. But we are the church. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the church. You're part of that pillar and foundation of the truth. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions. I mentioned the church has not been doing its job. I'm going to ask you, and just privately in your own heart, you consider this. In the last 6 months now, we're in the seventh month now. Half a year is gone. How many of you, don't raise your hand, please. How many of you have witnessed to at least five people in 6 months? Do you know some Christians have never witnessed to anybody? I wouldn't want to offend anybody. I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I just want to get along with everybody. Folks, you're not called to get along with everybody. You're called to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you're missing that, you're a weak part of the church. How many of you, every day, pray before every meal you eat and give thanks? How many of you, every morning, get up and say, Lord, this is the day the Lord hath made. Give me the strength to do your will. When you go to bed at night, how many of you take time to thank God for the day? How many of you are planning on reading through the Bible this year? If you don't know the Bible, which is the truth, how can you proclaim it? Folks, I can tell you Christians that don't open their Bible. Never. They don't memorize. They don't talk to others. And we wonder, why is the church not doing its job? It's because the people that make up God's church aren't on fire. Our ancestors were on fire. So I want to talk about America's beginning. I want you to understand what our forefathers had that many people today don't have. We don't have the fire in our hearts like they did. The people who first came to America were hardened people. They were hardened because no matter where they went to several countries trying to be able to worship God as their own conscience told them they should. And everywhere they went, they got persecuted. And so they risked everything to leave Europe to be able to come to the New World to worship God the way their conscience told them He should be worshiped. That first winter, half of the people that were on the Mayflower died. Why would you risk such a thing just to be able to be free to worship God the way you thought you should? Because they loved God more than they loved anything. Again, the fire is not there. They were looking for freedom. But more than freedom from tyranny in Europe, they really wanted freedom to just worship God the way that they thought the Bible taught they should. Folks, we've lost that zeal. They wrote the Mayflower Compact before they ever came on land. They landed out on the coast of where Massachusetts is today, but before they ever left the boat, they wrote the Mayflower Compact, a very important document. Sadly, it's not being taught in our schools anymore. It should be, because this is how our nation started. It says in that document, in the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten have undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Notice it doesn't say we've come here to spread the Muslim faith or the Hindu faith or any other faith. They came here for freedom to proclaim the Christian faith. We don't persecute others, but we say this is a Christian nation. And you say, well, Pastor, you can't say that. Well, let me tell you, in 1898, the United States Supreme Court said this is a Christian nation because the state of Maryland did not want to have the Bible taught in public schools anymore. And the United States Supreme Court said, this is a Christian nation. You will teach the Word of God in the public schools. Folks, the Word of God is not being taught anymore, is it? We've come a long way, baby, but it's not the right way. America advanced when the patriots wanted freedom. They signed the Declaration of Independence, another very important document you ought to know about. It says, he has abdicated, talking about George III, the King of England, he has abdicated government hereby declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He's plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the work of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely parallel in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He's constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their own country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He's excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these operations, we petition for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by the very act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. And they conclude the document saying, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress Assembly, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown." From that point on, our nation began to advance, because we were trusting in the God of heaven to do the right thing for the people that were dedicated to him. French writer Alex de Tocqueville, after visiting the U.S. in 1831, so we're talking about after the Revolutionary War, we're talking about 50 years later, he tried to find out what made America so different from every other nation on earth. And this is what he wrote. "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers and her fertile fields and boundless forests. And it was not there. I sought for in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and her institutions of higher learning. And it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress, in her matchless Constitution. And it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." The reason we got freedom wasn't because we had the best army. We were outmatched on every field of battle. The reason we gained freedom is because we served God. We were a Christian nation intent on getting further freedoms to be able to serve our God. We have to keep in mind that Deuteronomy 20 verse 4 says this: "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." That was true for Israel. God chose Israel. That was true for our nation because our nation chose God. Whether you know it or not, you are the only nation on this earth that ever chose God. We chose to be Christian. We made a document, signed with it. Jesus Christ can and will give freedom to those that love him. In fact, speaking prophetically about Jesus' birth, in Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Lord says, "Now that you have trusted Christ, you can be used of God to set others free. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives." Folks, you have been anointed by God to do exactly that, and release from darkness the prisoners. You can be used of God to bring God's freedom to others, and that's what the Lord wants to do. So let me ask you today, as you sit here, are you still in bondage to the things of this world? Are you still bound with a sin that you just can't get past? Do you know the Lord tells us, the Lord Jesus, in John 8, verse 34? Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We're free people. You can do what you want. But Paul says, don't use your freedom as a means to gratify your flesh. We're not to be in bondage to other people, but we're not to be in bondage to our own self either. We're set free in Christ. So let's look just for a minute at the present situation we find in America today. We still are the greatest nation on earth, in my view. We still have the most freedom out of any nation, in my view. But we are slipping, and we're slipping fast. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, the decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms on earth. And he gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people. We keep thinking if we can just get a president that really knows stuff, man, we're going to be just fine. Folks, if we don't get a president that knows God, that knows the Word of God, that loves the Word of God, and it starts to bring this nation back to that fellowship with God, we're going to be done. I don't know how long the United States is going to last, and we're going to talk about that next. But in Daniel 4:35, it says, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the power of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Today, people think the United States of America is special and we can do anything we want and there's never going to be any judgment. Folks, the only thing that made this nation special is we chose to walk with God. We said the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's Lord. We're going to serve him. That's what made this nation great. When we stop doing that, when we start to pursue our own hearts, our own goals, and we forget about God, we're heading for disaster. The United States of America isn't great because we're the smartest, most talented people on the earth. The United States of America is great because God has blessed this nation, because we blessed him. We ask him to be our Lord. When we're making laws that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God, we're acting like there's no God in heaven. How do you think God feels about abortion? I was so happy when the United States Supreme Court overthrew Roe v. Wade. I thought, boy, praise the Lord. And what did our governor do? Turned right around and made our laws even worse than Roe v. Wade was. I want to tell you, we need to come back to God. How do you think our Lord feels about gay marriage? We made a law now that people can be married that are gay. God says homosexuality is an abomination in his sight. Now, I know that's offensive. I know there's people, if they hear this on the internet, oh, he can't say that. God said it. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what God has said. How do you think God feels about so many of the laws we're making that are absolutely contrary to his word? America's great because we followed the Lord. We're departing from the Lord today. Folks, it's unbelievable to me some of the things that are going on. Teaching our boys and girls that they may not be a boy, they may not be a girl. What do you feel like this week? Folks, we ought to be as a nation helping our little girls to rejoice that they're made in God's image as a little girl. Be happy to be a little girl. Our boys ought to rejoice. Man, they're made in the image of God. Man, be happy being a boy. But don't get it confused. It's craziness. America has been blessed by rich bounty. We're the most technologically advanced nation on this earth. But God can quickly change that. It's so important. Do you know when we talk about unemployment in the United States, usually we're talking less than 5, maybe 10% at the very most if it's a really bad time. I know the Great Depression went up to 37%. But you can go across this world and you'll find most nations, the unemployment rate is closer to 30 to 50% of the people. Why is that? Is it because they're stupid? Is it because they're ignorant? Because they're not blessed of God. That's all that makes the difference. When a nation refuses God, God stops blessing. And we're seeing things happen in our nation that make you think. Today, you look at the average home in America. Every home has two cars or three or four parked out in the driveway. We've got two or three or four televisions. Everybody in the family's got a cell phone. We've got more food. In fact, we eat so much that many of us are way overweight. We got all kinds of blessings, but we're forgetting the blesser. We're forgetting why we have those blessings. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I'm with you." But he's only with you if you're with him. The Bible says if you'll draw near to God, God will draw near to you. But when you start to back away from God, guess what God's going to do? He's going to back away from you, whether that's a person or a nation. "For I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So God will bless every nation. It doesn't matter if it's the United States of America or England or Africa or any nation on this earth. God will bless them if they bless him. When we pursue God, he blesses. When we stop pursuing God, whether that's an individual or a nation, the Lord takes his blessing away. In Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Our nation has nothing to fear if we're walking with our God. He's going to keep us great. I don't know if you know this or not, but the United States of America has sent out more missionaries to this world than any other nation on the face of the earth. We've only been a nation 248 years, but we sent out more missionaries, and because of that, God's blessing us. But folks, we got to keep at this. We don't get to retire. So I just want to look at the United States of America's future. I don't know the future of the United States of America. If you read your Bible all the way through the end of the book of Revelations, you'll see no mention of the United States of America. When the final battles on this earth are fought, you don't see us there. I don't know if we're going to last as a nation or not. It reminds me of the words of Isaiah 5, verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's true of a nation. When we just celebrated as a nation, and I got to tell you, so many big businesses today are really pushing the gay rights movement. We just celebrated, I didn't, but the nation did, Gay Pride Month. We've got a whole month set aside to celebrate what God says is an abomination in his sight. Folks, that ought not to be. That just ought not to be. And we have to stand for what the Bible says. The Bible is certain. The Word of God is absolutely true. And God has said through Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 13, verse 31, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." What Jesus Christ has said was right is still right today. It doesn't matter what our government says. It doesn't matter what your teacher says. What matters is what has Jesus Christ given the apostles to write in the New Testament. What is right? What is wrong? And when we start to call good what God says is evil, we're heading for trouble. When we start to say it doesn't matter if a man marries a man or a woman marries a woman, or if they don't even get married, as long as you're in love, you just do whatever you want. When we tell children, you can live together before you're married and it's not sin, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Folks, we're losing it. We're losing the edge of God's blessing. In John 20, verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. His word has not changed. We're not teaching our boys and girls that anymore. We need to get back to the public schools proclaiming the word of God. I don't know if you know this or not, but when our nation first started, the Bible was being taught in every public school all across this nation. Prayer was every single day. The Pledge to the Allegiance of the flag was every single day. Folks, it's important, laying a foundation. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." This is talking about Paul's health, but the same thing is true for a nation. We are weak. We think we're so strong because we got the greatest military. Remember we read it, it's not by the horse, it's not by our own armies, it's not by our strength. It's either God is blessing or God is not. If we as a people will choose to walk with him, he's going to bless our nation. If we choose not to, judgment's coming. In Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. We don't have to fear if we're walking with God. But when we've got a whole government right now set up anti-God, teaching and pushing things that are anti-Bible and against God, we're heading for trouble. We need to get back where we've got a government that knows the Lord, loves the Lord. It'll never be perfect, but at least we're pursuing what God has told us to pursue, the things that our ancestors pursued with not just part of their heart. They paid the ultimate price to be able to walk with their God. We need to get back to that. In Romans, we need to proclaim that we're going to have Bible school here at the end of the month. Last year, pray about it. I don't know if we're going to get the same thing or not. But last year we had 6 boys and girls give their hearts to Christ. I pray we have even more. I don't know what we're going to get. But I do know this. We need to keep proclaiming the truth. We need to proclaim, according to Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to proclaim Romans 13:11, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It's time for us as individual Christians to wake up. You need to be busy about Christ's work. You need to be filling yourself with his word. You need to get some heat in your devotion. You need to have power when you give the gospel. Folks, this is your life. You're not here at this time by accident. You're here to make a difference for God. Don't waste your life. What are we pursuing in America today? Are we pursuing God? No. We're pursuing an early retirement so that we can sit on a beach and just relax all day long. That's the great American dream. We want that great big house, we want that big car, we want the big boat, and we just want to be able to do what we feel like doing. Folks, that's not pursuing God. We've got to say, I'm here on mission. Jesus said we are to go to all the world with the gospel, and we need to have some fire in our hearts. For those of you that are here, maybe you're having some real trouble today. Maybe you're the one that needs the help. I can tell you where you can get it. In Matthew 11, verse 28, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you want rest in your soul, it's not in more things. It's not in more possessions. It's in knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord, listening to what he's telling you is right and wrong, and then doing it with all your heart. You'll have rest for your soul. So 4th of July, it's not just about hot dogs and fireworks. I love hot dogs and I love fireworks. I love big parties. I love it when families get together. I think it's wonderful. But we have to remember, Patrick Henry wrote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." So let me invite you this morning to invest in Jesus Christ, to give him your whole heart, not to go about this business half-heartedly. I'll read the Bible if there's nothing good on TV. I'll pray if there's nothing happening, but it's kind of an inquisition or imposition on my rights and my privacy. We need to get hot for God, folks. This is our time. In Psalm 144, verse 15, it says, "Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord." We studied in Sunday school a while ago that last word, Lord, all capital. That means Jehovah or Yahweh God. We have one God. I know we have freedom of religion, so a person can worship however they see fit. But as a nation, we need to come back to Jehovah God. We need to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts. And then God will bless us. He didn't say, "Blessed is Israel." He said, "Blessed is the nation." That means any nation that wants the blessing of God can have it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'll go further. Blessed is the person whose God is the Lord. I pray today that he's your Lord and your Savior.